Psalms chapter number 37. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Obviously, I want to thank Pastor for giving me the opportunity to preach tonight. And this is going to be my first time preaching a sermon longer than 10 minutes, so looking forward to that aspect as well. Looking forward to what God has for us tonight. Psalms chapter 37. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Tonight I want to bring a message to you from this passage on how we can live a blessed life for the Lord, how we can live a life that God can bless. So before we begin the message tonight, let's pray and ask God to bless this message. Father, we do thank you for this day you've given us, Lord. I thank you very much for the opportunity to preach tonight. And I pray for, I pray that you would lead and guide tonight, Lord, that you would work through me, that your words would be the words that be said, Lord, that you would have me preach exactly what you want me to say and nothing more or nothing less. Lord, I pray for the hearts tonight that each and every person would be open and attentive to hear what God has, and that you would be honored and glorified in all that's said and done tonight. We love you, and we thank you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So we see here in Psalms 37, most of the time when we think of the book of Psalms, we think of songs of praise to God and songs of, we think of the praise ye the Lords, the hallelujahs, the bless the name of the Lord. And those are all part of Psalms, but we see in this psalm, it seems a little bit different here. David's writing this psalm, and instead of more of a song of praise or a prayer to God, we see more of the format of a message. David saying, hey, do this, don't do this, don't do that. When you do this, this is going to happen, right? So today I want to look at this passage, and in this passage he talks about two main types of people. He talks about the evildoers, and he talks about the righteous. He gives very little time to the evildoers. He just basically talks about that, hey, don't worry about what those who are not living for the Lord are doing. Don't worry about the evildoers. Their time will come. They're going to be cut down like the grass. They're not going to last. They're going to wither away someday. But then he goes into talking about the righteous, and he says, hey, don't worry about the evil. Don't worry about the wicked. Focus on the righteous. And he gives us five things that we can do and blessings that come along when we do these things. So today I want to look at these five things and how these can help us to live a blessed life for the Lord. So the first thing we see, if you want to look in verse number 3, Psalms 37:3, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." So the first thing we need to do if we're going to live this blessed life for the Lord is we got to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. So we hear the phrase trust in the Lord all the time, but what does it truly mean to trust in the Lord? When we think of, so the psalmist is here saying, hey, I want you to trust in the Lord. The definition of the word trust is simply a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. So that's exactly what David's saying in this passage. He's saying, hey, I want you to put your trust, I want you to put your belief, I want you to put your confidence in the Lord. I want you to, but it's not just to put your confidence in the Lord. It's easy to say, oh yeah, I trust God. I trust the Lord. We hear that phrase all the time. But he takes it a step further. Trust in the Lord and do good. So it's not saying, hey, I want you to trust in the Lord. I want you to trust God. It's like, I want you to trust the Lord. I want you to put your belief in God. And because of that, I want you to do good. I want you to do what's right. And he talks about what will happen when we do that. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. And the end of the verse says, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So he says, for those who trust the Lord, for those who believe God and do what he says to do because of that, he says, those that do that will dwell in the land, and they shall be fed. What he's basically saying, when you take the whole context of the verse, he's saying, hey, you trust in the Lord, you do what God wants you to do, God's going to provide, God's going to take care of you, God's going to provide for you. When I think of this verse, what it reminds me of in some ways is a trust fall, right? How many of you have ever seen a trust fall happen, whether on like social media or something like that? How many of you have ever done a trust fall, right? Yeah, those are kind of fun to do. How many of you, I would imagine this is mostly in the younger group, how many of you have ever done a trust fall and the person that you were trusting wasn't very reliable and it didn't end well so well for you? Looks like a lot of you guys in the front. That's concerning. Anyway, but you think of a trust fall, right? When there's a trust fall, you're standing in sometimes a very elevated place with either one person or multiple people standing below, and they are promising that they are going to catch you. Now, whether or not they do, that's another story, but you in fact are saying, okay, I trust you, now I'm gonna fall back. It's not just you saying, hey, I trust you, I'm just gonna stand here and do nothing, right? You show your trust by taking that time, by taking that step, by taking that fall, and trusting that those people will care, that those people will do as they say they're going to do. Now, obviously, we as sinners and we as people will not always succeed, will not always, when you trust in other people, they're going to let you down sometimes, right? But when we trust in the Lord, when we trust God, God is always going to keep his promises. God is always going to keep his word. God will never let us down. God, we know what God wants us to do. We know God wants us to do something, but we get afraid, we get worried, and we don't take that step, and we say, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I have the courage to do it. I don't know if I can trust the Lord enough. I don't know. There's so many different things that could go wrong, whether financially, but God says, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, 25 gives us a good illustration of this. God says, hey, we don't have to worry about whether or not we can put our trust in the Lord and do what God wants us to do. Matthew 6, 25 says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? God says, hey, you can worry about so many different things, but God says, hey, I take care of the birds, I take care of creation, I'm going to take care of you. God has promised that he will take care of us if we step out and do what he calls us to do. So, Christian here tonight, maybe are you trusting in the Lord? Maybe there's something that you know God wants you to do. Maybe there's something that you believe God's called you to do, but maybe you go into a situation and there can be some fear. Maybe it's financially. Maybe you're going into a situation you don't know how it's going to work out financially. Maybe you're stepping out on your own. Maybe you're going into an uncomfortable situation. Let me tell you something. If God has told you to do it, you can trust him that he's going to hold up his end of the bargain, and he's going to provide for you and take care of you. If God has called you to do something, God will give you the tools to do it. So secondly, not only see that we're supposed to trust in the Lord, if you look down to verse number 4, the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So the second thing we need to do, we got to trust in the Lord. And secondly, we need to delight ourselves in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Simply, this verse is saying that we should take our joy, we should seek the Lord, we should desire our joy from the Lord. David is saying, hey, there's many things you can delight in. There's many things in this world that we can take joy and pleasure in. But David's saying, hey, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When we delight in the Lord, when we seek the Lord, when we seek what God wants, when we seek to take joy in what the Lord wants us to, his desires will become our desires. His desires will become our desires, and we will have the desires that we want. Now, obviously, this verse is not saying that when he says he shall give thee the desires of thine heart, it's not saying that, hey, if we delight in the Lord, God's going to 100% for sure, he's going to give you $1 million. He's going to give you this new car and all this stuff. God's not saying that this verse isn't trying to tell you that you're going to have everything you've ever want financially and in possessions. God's saying, hey, when you delight in the Lord, your desires become his. No, his desire, wait a minute. I got that confused earlier. His desires become, no, your, never mind. You all get the point. Sorry about that. Your desires become his. There we go. His desires become. I'm really losing it today. You will have the desires of the Lord. There we go. You will have the desires of the Lord, and when what God wants will happen, and what then you want will happen. Sorry, that was really confusing the way I said it. It sounded much better when practicing it. Anyway, a good illustration that I think of this as well is you hear stories, I've heard stories that my parents have told me about when they first met each other and when they were dating, right? When you're getting to know somebody that you really like and you're getting to know somebody like that, you get to the point where you're what you want most is what they want. What you want to be around that person. You want to get to know them better. The thing that makes you the happiest is what makes them happy, right? And you get to this, and all you want is what they want, right? And that's what God desires from us as Christians. God wants us to seek his will, seek his desires, to truly want what he wants. There's a lot of things the Lord wants, but one good example that I can think of that God mentions in the gospel is, he talks about, Jesus says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Christian, do you truly delight yourself in the Lord? Do you truly seek what God wants? Do you truly seek what the Lord wants? When was the last time you prayed for laborers? That's a good example. God always wants more people to go to tell others of his salvation, to tell a lost and dying world of his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross for their sins. When was the last time you prayed for laborers? When was the last time you said, God, I'll go. If you want me to go, if you want me to tell whoever you want me to tell, wherever you want me to go to tell others about Christ, I'm willing to do it. Do you truly delight yourself in the Lord, or are you seeking your own desires? If we're going to live that blessed life for the Lord, God says we will have our heart's desire when we delight in the Lord. And that's another way we can live that blessed life. So thirdly, not only do you see that we're supposed to trust in the Lord, not only do you see we're supposed to delight in the Lord, if you look in verse number 5, the Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So the third thing we're supposed to do is commit thy way unto the Lord. When we're talking about this commit thy way, it has the meaning of you're giving your way, which would be your path, your direction in life, to the Lord. Basically, this would boil down to surrendering life to the Lord, right? We see many times people, we hear messages all the time about surrendering your life to the Lord. And scripture talks about it all the time. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We see in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We see throughout scripture, God wants to lead and guide our lives. God wants us to give us, for us to give him our lives so that he can lead and guide our lives. So many times as Christians, we make plans, and we plan years and years into the future, which none of that is a bad thing, but we make these plans, and we make these dreams and ambitions, and we never consult God about it. We never say, Lord, what do you want me to do next year? What do you want me to do in the future? Or maybe as you young people, maybe it's, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Do you want me to go to the ministry? What do you want me to do, Lord? And so often we try to make our plans without God. And when we seek our own way, when we seek our own path, many times we're striving for something, we're seeking for something, and it never comes. And that brings a load of disappointment. But what the Bible says here at the end of this verse is, commit thy way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. God's saying, hey, when you give me your direction, when you give me your life, when you seek to do what I've called you to do, when you seek the direction that I've given you, I will bring it to pass. God promises that we can have a prosperous life, not necessarily financial way, that may come, not necessarily in possessions, not necessarily in what the world would call success, but God says, when you live for me, when you go my direction, when you go the direction that I've called you to go, God says, you will find success. God says, I will bring it to pass. Maybe some of you in here tonight need to surrender your life to the Lord. Maybe you're not going the direction God wants you to go. If we're going to have Christ's blessing in our life, we have to go his direction. We have to live in obedience to his will and his way. So number 4, not only see that we're supposed to trust in the Lord, we're supposed to, number 2, delight ourselves in the Lord, we're supposed to commit our way to the Lord, and fourthly, we see in verse number 7, the Bible says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." We see, fourthly, we need to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So to this point, we've talked about we're trusting in the Lord, we're doing what's right, we're taking that step of faith and doing what God wants us to do. We're delighting in the Lord. We're seeking to have his desires and to want what he wants and to do his will. And we've committed our way to the Lord. We've given our lives to the Lord, and now we're serving him. We're going the direction he wants. So many times as Christians at this point, we're serving the Lord, we're doing what he wants, but we miss something. We miss this rest in the Lord. You see, we try to serve the Lord, and we try to do what God wants, and we don't take the time to rest in the Lord. We don't take the time with the Lord that we need. God's intention was never for us as Christians to serve him in our own strength, to serve him without his presence and his will. And if we're going to live in the blessed way, if we're going to serve him the way he wants us to, we're going to have to take that time to rest in the Lord. And it says wait patiently for him. I find that interesting. Sometimes as Christians, we're trying to live the Christian life and we're trying to go 100 miles an hour. God says, hey, I'm not going that fast. I don't want you to go that fast. I want you to wait on me. Wait upon the Lord. You know, a good illustration of this would be sometimes for the few of you in here that are in college currently will know what I'm talking about. As college students, we get into the daily routines and we got projects to turn in, a few assignments to do, and college overall is pretty, not too difficult most of the time, but you can get things done and things happen. But then there's two times in a semester. One, it's called midterms, and one's called finals. And you're going about your daily routine, and you're looking on your calendar, and you see midterms upcoming. And that means there's a test in every class of everything we've gone over. And then it gets worse. At the end of the semester, there's finals, which is a test over everything we've covered over the entire semester. It's a lot of studying to do, and everything gets really busy around that time. Everybody's studying, trying to get, because these count as big parts of the grade. It's really important. And usually when this happens, the first thing that goes out the window probably should be going to the basketball game, but no, that's not what goes out the window. The first thing that goes out the window when we get busy trying to study and trying to get things done is sleep. Sleep is the first thing that goes out the window. We don't take time to rest as college students. And that can oftentimes lead to problems. Maybe it means we end up falling asleep in class, or maybe it ends up we don't do as well on our assignments and projects because we didn't have the mental capacity to do what we should have done. Or maybe it means we spent a fortune on coffee because we were lacking sleep so much. You wonder why there's always a popular coffee shop at colleges? Because college students don't sleep much, all right? So, and it's the same, and it can be the same way in our Christian lives. We get so busy doing the work of the Lord, but we forget to take time to rest in the Lord. You see, just in the physical way, we're not going to be able to do our best and to do our very best if we're lacking sleep, if we're tired. In the same way, if we're tired spiritually, if we're not resting in the Lord spiritually, we're not going to be able to do what God wants us to do. We're not going to be able to live that blessed life. So number 5, not only do you see that we need to trust in the Lord, we delight ourselves in the Lord, commit our ways to the Lord, we rest in the Lord. But number 5, in verse number 8, it says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Bible says here, the psalmist is saying, hey, you've done all these other things, now cease from anger. When we think of anger, the simple definition of the word anger is the emotion of displeasure that comes when change is wanted and or needed. Good example of this would be, say, we can get angry about a lot of things. When you get angry, it's because you want change, because you want to see something change, right? Maybe it's the kids are misbehaving and you're annoyed and you want them to stop. Or maybe your roommate's being annoying and you want them to stop. Or something's going on that you want to change. And anger is not always a sin. Anger is not always bad. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. We should, in many ways, have anger towards our sin, but we should not let anger be a motivating factor and not drive us in our lives. So often as Christians, we go about our day living in anger. We go about thinking that we have righteous indignation, going about seeking to do everything through anger. This is something I've struggled with at many times. There'll be days when I know I need to get something done, and I go halfway through the day, and I'm not getting anything done, maybe because I fell asleep, or maybe because I've just not been able to focus. And then it starts to catch up with me. I realize that something needs to change, and I get angry. And I'm like, all right, I got to get something done. I got to do something. So I start working, and I work in anger. And a lot of times, things get done a little bit more when that happens. But guess what? What's really hard to do when you're angry, what's really basically impossible to do when you're angry is when I'm angry, I'm not in a spirit of prayer. I'm not walking with the Lord. I'm not taking that time to commune with the Lord. When you're not walking with the Lord, you can't expect his blessing on your life. Oftentimes, we think we can just go about and live in a spirit of anger and live with anger, but God's not going to be able to bless us when we have anger in our life. So let me ask you today, Christian, are you living a life that God can bless? First of all, if we're going to have a blessed life, we have to have Christ in our life. We have to be a Christian, right? Maybe there's somebody in here today who doesn't know Christ as your Savior. At the beginning of this passage, the psalmist talks about the evildoers, right? And he says in verse 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." You know, there's my friend in here, if you are not saved, I beg you and implore you to do it, because there is a heaven and there is a hell. And there is coming a day when it says the wicked will be cut off. And you might not be the worst person ever. You might not be doing a bunch of terrible things. But let me tell you, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, what God is talking about, these evildoers, does apply to you. It doesn't matter if you tried to live your life to be as good of a person as you could be. It doesn't matter if you tried your whole life to be as good as you can. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you don't trust in his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross to pay for your sin, because none of us can pay for our sins, if you don't trust in that, you will spend eternity in hell. But Christ died, like I was just saying, Christ died for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins. And if you receive that gift of salvation, you can have eternal life. And if you are in here today and you haven't accepted Christ, and you don't know for sure that heaven is your home, I beg you and I implore you again to talk to Pastor, Brother Joel, me, or somebody else in this room who can take the word of God and show you how you can know for sure that heaven is your home. But again, back to the Christians in this room. For those Christians, are we living a life that God can bless? Are we living a life that honors and glorifies God? Maybe it's you know what God wants you to do, but you're not trusting him. You're not trusting him to take that step. Maybe some of you tonight need to pray and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I know what you want me to do. I'm going to take that step, and I'm going to do what you want me to do. Or maybe we're not delighting in the Lord. Maybe we're seeking pleasure and joy and all these other things. Those things are never going to satisfy. The psalmist says, hey, seek God, delight thyself in the Lord. It's the only way you can find true joy, and the only way we can find true peace is when we delight ourselves in the Lord. Maybe you've not committed your way to the Lord. Maybe you've not surrendered to God. Maybe you're fighting the direction that God wants you to go. Maybe you're making your own plans. Let me tell you something. The only way we can have true success in life is when we commit our way to the Lord, when we surrender to what the Lord wants. Or maybe we've been trying to serve the Lord, and we've been doing it in our own strength, and we haven't rested in the Lord. Maybe some tonight need to commit to spending more time with the Lord, to really rest in the Lord, and to wait upon the Lord. Or maybe some of you in here are holding on to anger, maybe at a person, or maybe you just have issues dealing with anger, and you're holding on to the anger, and you don't want to let it go. The psalmist says, hey, cease from anger. Maybe some of you tonight need to let go of that anger and to let God be the motivating factor in your life and not let anger control you. Christian, are you truly living a life that God can bless? Are you truly living for the Lord as he would want? Thank you.